Today's daf is daf Mem Dalet, Masechet Shavuot, and we're finishing up today the sixth parak, and hopefully we'll begin the seventh. And we're holding on Mem Gimel on the Beit, in Shmuel's halacha. Shmuel had said that somebody who lends money on a mashkin, where the mashkin is clearly not worth very much, and he lends him his 1,000 shekel, let's say, and all he gave him was a handle of a yahoo or something, that if he loses that mashkin, then there goes the loan. And that mashkin is not for purposes of pure on. It's basically the purpose is for an actual receipt, an indication of the loan. He's accepting responsibility to get that mashkin back to him. And if not, he loses the loan. So we were trying to bring a raya yesterday that the din of Shmuel is dependent in a machloket tana'im, where the machloket was that in a case where someone is malveh chaverah mashkin and the mashkin is lost, then the malveh has to swear, of course, that the mashkin was lost, and he can still collect. That says Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Akiva says that he cannot collect, and that he can tell him, the borrower can tell him, look, I borrowed the money based on giving you the mashkin, you accepted responsibility for it, you lost the mashkin, you lost your loan. And the last thing that it said was, if there was a shtar and he left the mashkin, then everybody agrees that the point of the mashkin was there, certainly as an indication that if it was gone, then the loan would be gone as well, because it's certainly he has a shtar of a raya, so it must have been a responsibility. Now, we did not explain yesterday, we left off in the middle of trying to see how that showed that it was a machloket that was based around Shmuel. And today we're just going to close the argument on that, what the Gemara says in the final line on Mem Gimel Amud Beit, Hechidami. So what exactly do we say was the case of the Machlokas of Rebbe Eliezer Rebbe Akiva? It doesn't say over there how much the mashkin was. So let's think about this. Either Shavi Shiro Zuzi, if the mashkin indeed was worth the entire amount of the loan, then why would Rebbe Eliezer say that he would be able to swear that the mashkin was lost, and that he's putter on that, and that he should be able to collect? I mean, certainly, the mashkin is, if it's the exact amount of the chov, it was taken for the purposes of pure on, and why else? And if it's talking about El Olav, it's got to be talking about Bidalo Shavi Shir Zuzi, where it was not there to collect the loan, and then what would be the svara to say that he could still collect the whole thing? Obviously, they must be, but Shmuel Kamifuge, they're arguing in the dinner of Shmuel, Rabbi Akiva holding like Shmuel that the mashkin is there for the equivalent of the loan, and that's the Piraon, loss of mashkin means loss of loan, and Rabbi Eliezer says the mashkin is there basically as a zichron dvorim, so to speak, and the Malvad in Gishom Rechinon is now, in this case, able to collect, even though he lost the mashkin. Says the Gemara, look, not necessarily. It may be they're not arguing about Shmuel, and they may be a low shav. In a case where it wasn't worth, as you're saying here, then Kuleyama let lo de Shmuel. Maybe everybody would agree that you'd have to pay the chov. But the case, rather, that we're talking about is Chabit Hashavi Shir Zuzi. It is talking about where it was worth the full amount, and nonetheless they're arguing. What are they arguing about? They're arguing about Rabbi Yitzchak Kamiflegit. The Omer of Yitzchak, Minayin Lebal Chov Shikon Emashkon. How do we know that when somebody makes a loan, that mashkon that's given to him for the loan is considered to be his own money, in which case he would be chayiv no matter what happened to it? We wouldn't say he's a shomer on it, it would be putter in cases that a shomer of that type would be putter. He would actually be chayiv even on a sim, at least according to Rashi. There are the Rishonim who say that he would be chayev as a shomer sachar, but in any event, he certainly would be chayev for geneva v'aveda. And that is the subject of the machloket here. Rabbi Yitzchak says it's clear from the pasuk she'nemar lecha tiyeh tzedakah. There it's talking about the chiyuv of returning a mashkin that was taken subsequent to the loan, giving it back when it's needed by a poor man. Let's say it's his pajamas, it's pillow, or it's the backpack that he uses during the day. As the case may be, what's used in the day has to be returned to him for use, what's used in the night has to be returned for use in the night. And there the pasuk says, L'chot yetzidaka. If you do that, it will be considered to be an act of charity. Now, how could the Torah call something that belongs to somebody else that you're giving them an act of charity? How could we call it tzedakah if he doesn't actually give anything of his own money in that case. And therefore, if it's called tzedakah, it's clear that the Torah considers it to be his. So mikan lebal chov shekoneh mashkan. Now, according to this, Rabbi Akiva would hold, like Rabbi Yitzchak, that he was kind of the mashkan. Therefore, if the mashkan is lost, so then he lost his money in the case where it was shoved in the mashkan. And, of course, if it wasn't, then he would prorate the loss. He would only be able to collect what wasn't the worth of the mashkan. Rabbi Eliezer argues Rabbi Yitzchak, and he says, even if in this case, he's not kind of the mashkan, and that the din over here is, even though the mashkan was worth the entire value of the loan, he doesn't have to pay, because he's only a shomer chinam. And therefore, all he needs to do is to swear that he wasn't Porshea, and he could still collect his loan. And that's the topic of the machloket here. Says the Gemara, Lema Reb Yitzchak Tanayi. So then, now that you've said that, it's rather strange, because then that would mean that Reb Yitzchak was bringing his raya from the posuk as if it were this discovery is actually a machlokes tanayim between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Eliezer. Says the Gemara, come on, you really think so? The Tizbra. I mean, Ema the Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, where did Rabbi Yitzchak say that a bachov is kona mashkon? Only in the case. What was the posuk talking about over there, my friends? It was talking about where the mashkan was not taken at the time of the loan. That's what that pasuk is referring to, that you have to return the mashkan. So that's mishkano shelo b'shat alva'a. Over there, it came time for payment. They didn't have any money. And so, the Beit Din forced a mashkan to be given to him, so he wouldn't have to go through the whole case, we'd be able to collect. But in this case, the machlokas Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Eliezer is talking about was the lent on the mashkan. Mishkano b'shat alva'a mi amar. Did he ever say that your kona mashkan, which was given at the time of the alva'az in this case, ela, what we'd have to recognize is that we just made a mistake. Mishkan v'shalot b'shat alva'ato kule amalo plige, the hitler the Rabbi Yitzchak, actually, it was a mistake to think that it's a machloket tanayim. Everybody would agree to Rabbi Yitzchak in the case where the mashkan was taken shalot b'shat alva'a, as the pasuk says, l'chati yetzedakah. The case over here, of course, is where Mishkan b'shat alva'ato. And what then is the machloket? Something else entirely. B'shomer avedaka miflagei. The question over here is, what is the din of someone who is watching an aveda? And the question over there is whether, as we'll see, he's considered to be a shomer sachar or shomer chinam because of the fact that he's a shomer sachar in, since he's involved in doing a mitzvah, he won't have to give charity to the poor. And therefore, that's worth a lot of money. Certainly worth a dime. It makes him a shomer sachar. And that would be true in this case as well, where he has the mashkan d'itmar. Shomer aveda, somebody watches an aveda that he found. Rabba omer kishomer chinam. Since he's not being paid, he does not have greater chiyuvim than any other shomer chinam. Potter on geneva v'aveda. However, that's because he's not getting paid, but Rabbi Yosef says he is getting paid, really, in a sense. And he has the name of Shomer Sachar Dami. And that's because he has the schar over here, basically of being Osik in a mitzvah, and somebody who's lending money on a mashkon is also getting a mitzvah. So, Lema Rabbi Yosef Tanoi is, okay, then we're back to the same question. I mean, so now you saved two people from being machlokes tanoim, and now you've entered a new machlokes tanoim. Because now it turns out that Rav Yosef's question as to whether the mitzvah is considered to be the sachar is considered to be a machlokes between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Eliezer? No, says the Gemara. Actually, it's different. A shomer aveda, everybody agrees to Rav Yosef. That's definitely that he's being osek in a mitzvah at that time. The question over here is something entirely different, and that is that tzarech, we're talking about the malva, tzarech lamashkan kamiflagay. The question over here is where the malva wants to use the mashkan, and he's willing to take off the price of the rental, so to speak, of the mashkan, from his debt. Obviously, otherwise it would be rebate, he wouldn't be able to do that. So Rabbi Akiva holds Marsava that despite the fact that he's using it, nonetheless, he's still involved in a kiyum of a mitzvah. And therefore, he is a shomer sachar. Because the fact is, the very use of the mashkan is enabling him to deduct from the loan, and that itself is also a mitzvah. So Memela, he has the schar of Rabbi Yosef's pruta, which is that it's worth money to be osik in a mitzvah in order not to have to pay money to somebody who wants you to do another mitzvah. Whereas the Marasav, Rabbi Eliezer, who argues and says that no, he's not getting any schar over here, he doesn't have that schar mitzvah, doesn't have the pruta of Rabbi Yosef. He holds a lav mitzvah kavet. He is not being osik in a mitzvah at this point, and therefore he is not considered to be a shomer sachar, only a shomer chinam, potter on the name of Aveda. Therefore, all he needs to do is swear that he didn't poshea, no negligence, and he could still collect his loan. Of course, the question over here is an interesting question, that he is paying for the use of the mashkan, which turns him anyway into a shomer sachar. Because he has the Nevis Socher, which, at least according to Ramad Yom, has the Nevis Shomer Sachar. And the question is, why wouldn't the Gemara get into that issue? Because then he would be Chayav Agibirub Eliezer in the Aveda. Because he's paying for the use of the Mashkin.
He's paying by lending.
By reducing the value of the loan. So then that should be Chayav on the Aveda. I mean, of course, it's possible that the he's not Bepoel being a Socher at the moment, but that he made the loan with this understanding that he could, and therefore he's considered to be, because of that, a nene and not a shomer socher. Since he isn't a bepoel actually doing it, so he isn't a socher either, possibly. Says the Gemara, Lema, perhaps there's a different machlokas tanoim, though, that does cover Shmuel's halacha, that the loss of the mashkan is considered to be the loss of the loan. Lema ketanoi, the following machlo ketanoi from the Braita, ha-mavet chaviru ala mashkon, v'nichnesa shmita, af api she'eno shave ela pruta, ina mishamit. Normally, of course, shmita would have been mishamit alone, and he wouldn't be able to collect it at the end of the shmita. And the point is, however, that since there is a mashkon is considered to be as if it's already partially collected, because it's as if the loan is already by him. And the only thing that the Torah answers is lo yigos et reyehu. But in this case, the mashkin has already accomplished that yigos. He can present the mashkin now and collect. And so here it says that even if the mashkin is worth very, very little, and it's worth as only half your loan, the entire loan will not be affected by Shemitah. Divrei Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel. Whereas Rabbi Yehuda Anasi says, "Ima yamashkanot keneged chovo, if the mashkin is worth the loan, then eino mishamet. But otherwise, it would be mishamet." Now, when you say it's not mishamet, the Tanakhama says it would not be mishamet at all. What exactly do we mean over here when we say it's not mishamet? I mean, ilayme kenegdo. You mean to say whatever its value is, let's say it's 50% of the loan. So that 50% is considered to be collectible. So you're telling me now that Rabbi Yehuda now, who argues, Rabbi Yehuda Nasi, Michlad, Rabbi Yehuda Nasi holds that it's even going to be Meshamit, what is already collected by the Mashkon. Kenegdo, Nami Meshamit, that's very difficult to believe. Ela, it must be, I mean, what are you going to say then? Well, how could you say such a thing? Ela, my tofis Mashkon, what would be the point then of taking a mashkin if it isn't going to help him to be considered to have been gover the chov? Ella, he must be. Ella lav, that we're talking about, that the Tanakam is saying that the mashkin, the entire loan, will not be mishumat, despite the fact that the mashkin only covers a small part of it, right? But then that boils down to a machlokas in Shmuel. They're arguing about Shmuel, because the Tanakam is saying, like Shmuel, that even though the mashkin is not worth the value of the loan, nonetheless, it has been taken as the equal of the loan. Therefore, Shvi'it will not be Meshamitit. Whereas Rabbi Yehuda Anasi is saying, no, that's not true. The Mashkin is prorated according to whatever it covers, and only that much will not be Meshumat. The rest of it, the loan still stands, which is Keneged Shmuel. So here we have, actually, a Machloket in Shmuel. Says the Gemara, not necessarily. Look, Leolam, it may well be that when the Tanakhama said that it's only mishamet, it means it's only not mishamet kinegdo. And indeed, Rabbi Yehuda is chelik even on that. And says even kinegdo, that it will be mishamet. You know why? The Tanakhama Sava kinegdo. The kinegdo, it's not mishamet, because, I mean, after all, that's as if it's collected. Whereas Rabbi Yehuda Anasi Sava, even kinegdo, nami mishamet. Because what's your problem? You're asking, well, what's the point, after all, of taking a mashkan if it's not considered to be collected at all, even connecting the mashkan? That's not a problem to me. The comment, this comment that you had, that if that's the point, l'may tov is l'mashkan, perhaps a mashkan is indeed taken only l'zichron dvarim ba'oma. It's only that he should not be kofer. It's not really meant, especially in this case where it's not collectible, it's not really meant as a way to be a go of it alone or to make it the entire loan. And therefore, this is not a machlokes in Shmuel at all. Hadron alach shvu'at adayanim.
Bli neder. Zog tachelek perek.
Says the Halakha Mishnah, kol anishba'im shabat Torah, wherever you have someone who is mechuyav shvu'ah, say a motive of a mikzah, so somebody who's responding to the Eid Echad, or the cases where we just had of Shvat HaShomrim. All of the cases that you'll find anywhere in the Torah are always cases where the Shvuah is saying why you should not have to pay. Never a Shvuah that should be able to collect with. So it's Nishba'in V'lo Mishalmim. The Shvuah acts in lieu of payment. However, there are cases in which, because of special takanot, el nishbayim venotlin. The following cases, because of various takanot chachamim, as we'll see, and the Gemara is going to explain the basis of each one of these takanot, are a new type of shvuah midrabonan, in which you make a shvuah, and that shvuah gives you the power to collect. Okay, one is asachir. Somebody was working for someone, and they're arguing about whether he was paid. He could swear and collect, as we'll see. A nigzal, someone who had been robbed, see, he could swear as to what exactly had been taken. Hanechbal, the somebody who had been attacked, bruised and battered. And also, any case where you would have been chayev shvuah, but are unable to swear because you are chashud ala shvuah, and the court will not accept your shvuah. In such a case, the other person, who is the toveya, is able to swear and to collect because you have no mode of denying his collection with the shvuah. They put the shvuah on the other party. So in a case, kinegdo chashud ala shvuah, and a chenvani, who has been keeping a credit record of your purchases in his grocery store, Inishba and Notel al Pinkaso, whatever is written in his cash register. What are the cases? Hasachir Ketzad, where is there a shvua of someone who is a hired hand? Amano, suppose the Sakir comes, tells the Balabayat, okay, ten lis charish yeshli biyatcha, look, you never paid me. And the Balabayat says, what? I never paid you? Omer Natadi already paid you. Well, Omer, I never got anything from you, my friend. In that case, Rabbanu made a takana that hu nishba v'notel. He's able to make a shvuah and to take from the balabayit. We'll see why this is true. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, there's no shvuah in this case unless there is at least a motive of miktsas. And there's not a takana to take unless there would have been a shvuah diaraita that was mechuyev for the person who was the nidba, and the chachomim in this case did make a takona. The takona is that they put the shvuah on the toveya to enable him to take. But in a case where the nidba, in this case the balabayit, is a kofer bakol, there was no takona drabonon at all. So both agreed. Tanakam and Rabbi agreed there was a takona. The question is, what exactly was the takona? So I'll leave it to Rabbi Yehuda, it would be different. Ketzad. The hired hand says, you owe me $50 for my work. And he says, v'hu omer itkabalta dinar zahav, that actually you already got 25 of it. So he's moda on that there was a debt, but he just claims that it was partially paid. There the rabbanu were metakein, that the hired hand is able to swear and take what it is that was still missing. Nigzal ketzat. What is the case where we talk about someone who had been robbed is able to collect with a shvuah? Suppose witnesses say that they saw the lender break into the house of the borrower without having a court order to take something out of the house in order to keep as collateral. And Hu Omer, the nigzal, the victim, says, you took my watch. And he wants it back. The who and the lender says, ah, I got scared and I went out without anything. So then, who nishbav and otel? In that case, the putative victim, the nigzal, can swear and take back what it is that he claims was stolen. Because over here, since we have Aiden that say that they saw him break in, and we know that there was a reason for him to do so, he was trying to collect his loan, therefore they made this takana. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, in this case as well, the takana is only where there was at least a partial hoda'as, that was a basis for a chiyav of a shvua, that they were now mahapech. So the only time you'd be chayev would be ad shetehisham miktzat hoda'a. Ketzad. When I mean miktzat hoda'a, I mean like this. Amar lo shnei kelim natalta. V'omer lo natalti ela echad. Question would be, you took two watches. And the guy said, only took one. There, we would say he could swear what was taken. The other case was nechbal.
Nechbal ketzad. You made him at the shnechbas tachad yado shalim. A guy is looking perfectly all right, walks into another guy's house, and comes out bleeding and broken. Now, he says, Yata Khabru, Amaro, he says, Khabal Tabi, and then you attacked me. The guy says, no, you bash your own head in order to put me in a bad light. And who on there, Loka Balti, no, I didn't do any such thing. Harezen Yishbav and Ozer. So he has a right to swear that this guy attacked him. Now, again, the Rambam says, because I mean, we make a takona for against violence, but I mean, of course, the rabbit says that. Well, that's not the point. The point is that it's rather unusual for somebody to go bash his own head in order to make a suit against somebody else. So we make the assumption, which the Rambam would have to agree to. Otherwise, maybe he's the one that's being violent. Of course, the Gemara discusses what would be the din in a case where he has a bite on his back. And the guy says, well, you did it to yourself. Now, over there, we don't seem to need a takana. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Hachbei Shem Miktat Hoda'a. Again, Ketzah. Omar lo chavalta bishtayim. He says, you caused both of these wounds. And Allah Omer, lo chavalti b'chala akat. The other one was you were swinging at me and you bashed your hand into the wall. That's not my fault. So over there, I'm not responsible for your broken fingers. So in this case, he's the murder of Mitzvah. He's murder that he bashed one of his wounds, not the other one. So what is there were Mahapahit.
What is this
to
be
a
shuto?
What is
it?
What is it to be
meeting in the street?
Yeah, Inokinami. It's just speaking the whole bed. There's nobody else in here. It's like somebody else was there. You're the guy, you walked into his house. We all saw you walk into his house and come out bleeding and broken. Assumption is it was you who did it. Okay, we'll continue on our mission of tomorrow. I guess you'll be able to say Zuck the Helic Mission, even though I can't say fine time. Huh?